welcome back to the Lofty Life Podcast for part two of our conversation with Hannah. Now, admittedly, part two does have more of the juicier topics from our chat. However, part one is a great foundation for understanding the basics of pro golf and helps this episode make more sense. So if you haven't already, head on over to part one first. Don't worry, I'll wait. Okay, enough from me. Let's get back to our conversation with Hannah. Okay, so we're talking about practice rounds.
Yeah.
People often ask me, like, what? It's so funny in pro-ams and we're, like, looking at different things. They're like, what you looking at? Like, what do you even look for in a practice round?
Yeah.
What is helpful about a yardage book? And again,
yeah,
it depends.
Yeah.
On the course, on the person.
Yeah.
On, I mean, even your shot
yeah.
shape that you tend to have. But how do you strategize practice rounds and your yardage book?
So with yardage book, I don't know if it's because I have a really good memory. I really don't write a lot of stuff down because I remember all of my lines really well. I remember a lot of the carry numbers. So during the round, I rarely look at the yardage book. And that's just me personally. If anything, I'll write stuff down. And it's not like I don't want to get that mentality of I don't want to hit it here, I don't want it to hit it here, or I don't want it here. I just want to remind myself, okay, this is dead right here.
Yeah.
So I'll do a decade just to help me with that, decade golf.
I like that too. So for me with practice rounds, I guess I'm on a little bit on the longer end of the spectrum as far as length goes off the tee.
Yeah.
So a lot of my practice rounds are me trying to figure out what the heck to hit off tee.
Yeah.
Can I hit driver? Okay. What can I hit?
Yeah.
So, and if I hit like with the different clubs, with different winds, like where do I need to aim? How does that adjust my target? So for me, it's a lot of off the tee targets and clubs. And then, like you said, coming into greens, what's the best angle into greens?
Mm-hmm.
What's the side to the better side to miss on?
Yeah.
And then around the greens, like we've played enough golf tournaments that we can kind of guess where they're going to put pins.
Yeah.
I mean, there's certain things that are like, okay, like this on a 4-day event, there's only so many places they can put.
Yeah, agreed.
That are really reasonable or realistic.
Yeah.
So they sometimes put dots on greens, like painted dots during practice rounds, but they never do it for every single round. If they do it at all, it's for like the first two rounds before the cut. But again, you can base it off of what you experienced in the past, what you kind of know about like course setups usually. And then you just putt around the greens typically to get like general directions. I would say more so, are there any surprises?
Yeah.
When I hit a putt toward an estimated pin location, does it go in an opposite direction from what I thought?
Yeah.
And that's really the only thing like I kind of make note of.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm like, all right, yeah, same old thing.
Yeah. And some of the greens out, if I'm getting specific at all, I personally use decade and that helps me map out the courses.
Yeah.
But you said earlier, obviously aim away from water. I mean, just certain things decade can be pretty obvious about.
Right.
I might look, because for par fives, you said you're longer, you're probably going to go for a lot of them in two.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some where you have to hit wedges in, and it's nice to know where the grain is growing to know how the wedge is going to react on the grain.
Yeah, and you kind of need to know, okay, for me, this is my go-to wedge number.
Yeah.
Everybody has a favorite number.
Yeah.
Okay, but on this particular hole, is that an option?
Yeah.
Is there a bunker right there?
Yes.
To where I can't lay up there?
Yeah.
And so it's more so just like mapping out where you want to be, kind of an awareness of the better bad place to be.
Yeah.
You never want to think negative of
don't
go wherever, because that's not good. But
and then you gotta know where trouble is in order to create a game plan.
It's that awareness.
Yeah.
But then like with yardage books, I'm the same way. I don't write a ton down. I see some people do. That bit, like that clouds my mind.
Yeah.
If you see me over there writing in my yardage book, I'm doing math. Like it's because I can't do mental math. I've got to write it down. I got to do the old like third grade old-fashioned version of like carry the one.
Yeah. And like I see girls writing a novel. I mean, they got like
right.
what club they hit, how far it carried, how far it ran out. And
I mean, like a Matt Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
He knows every shot he's ever hit.
Yeah, which is crazy.
And that gives them confidence.
Yeah, that's how they build confidence.
And that's great. Not for me.
Yeah, I don't know. Coming off of off season, when you're, most of us are playing in winter and you're hitting your, what, 7 iron, 130 yards because it's cold and it's windy. And it's like, so in tournaments, obviously the conditions are different each day. So I feel like for me, writing down how far this club went, what's that going to do for you the next day if the weather's completely different?
Right.
So I don't know. That's just my personal take.
Well, and you kind of have to, even in a practice round, make a mental note of what the wind direction is.
Yeah.
If the wind direction on this, on hole one is helping, and then day round one, it's opposite, that can totally change your approach to the entire hole.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can be aware of, okay, practice round day, the greens are pretty firm.
Yeah.
Well, then it rained all night.
Yeah.
Now the greens are super soft.
Yeah.
So practice rounds are great for getting a general idea.
Yeah.
But you have to be able to adapt.
Yeah.
Because the golf course changes. Even from morning to afternoon, the golf course changes.
Yeah.
And so it's, as much as we would love as golfers to have a exact A to B plan.
Yeah.
The best golfers are the ones that can adapt.
Yo, 100%.
And so that's huge.
Yeah.
And so it's never an exact science.
No, it's not. Ever. It's not.
Oh, hi. Yeah. So sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to say a quick thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. If you enjoy hearing about life inside the ropes, please do me a huge favor and go do some or all the things on your platform of choice. Like, subscribe, review, share. All of that helps a ton with getting the Lofty Life podcast out to more loopers. Okay, thanks. Bye.
So another thing is people ask a lot about money.
Oh, money, honey.
So they ask about sponsors. They ask about travel.
Yeah.
And they ask about how much we make.
Yeah.
So let's start with... this could go in a lot of directions. Let's start with sponsors.
Okay.
How do you get sponsors, Hannah? It's so easy to get sponsors, isn't it?
They're just on the corner. They're just around.
Everybody around wants the block. To give us money.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, and this is the thing. This is what I tell people when they ask how to find sponsors. It's a business like anything else. It's about who you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know someone who knows someone who knows someone who knows someone that might be able to connect you with so-and-so. So, I mean, my first ever sponsor I met in a bar in Canada.
Because
just randomly met at a bar in Canada.
That's wild.
So it's, you never know who you're going to meet. And pro-ams are a great opportunity to meet new people.
Yeah.
So it's awesome. And it's, and I don't want to get, I'm not saying be fake to get a sponsor, but just connecting to humans that also understand your lifestyle and they truly want to help because they like you as a person or they believe in your dream. And sometimes you don't believe in your dream and then, but you meet people along the way that are inspired by your dream and they want to help you in pursuit.
And just golf fans in general, like they like to be like part of the process. But there's a lot of ways you can go about sponsorship. First off, sponsorship isn't solely like, I hand you money.
No.
It can be, here's clothes.
Yeah.
Here's equipment.
Yeah.
Here's golf balls. Like,
yeah.
It can be, I'm going to cover all your airfare this year. Like, those are all versions of sponsorships that like help us a ton.
Oh, 100%.
If I'm not having to buy golf balls,
yeah,
then I'm able to use that money elsewhere.
Yeah.
And so it's not just actual dollar bills or an actual check.
Yeah.
Now, you can get actual money or cash or checks by either pursuing companies, people that you know, like you mentioned, invite especially people that you grew up around who have watched you grow up through golf, who have supported you your whole life. Like a lot of times they want to invest in your professional journey.
Yeah.
And then you can also do, I don't know like what the proper word for this is, but like basically you're like selling shares into yourself as a business.
Yeah.
And basically people can invest in you as a golfer and down the line can get their investment back. Plus,
yeah.
So there's a lot of different ways, and it's sad that to me that a lot of what stops girls from and guys from achieving their dream of the tour is financial.
Yeah,
like they cannot afford golf. I mean, and that kind of transitions us into the cost of it.
Yeah.
We are individuals.
Yeah.
Paying for our own golf and paying for our own career. So when we go to a tournament, we pay our entry fee. We pay our travel. We pay our lodging. We pay our food.
Yeah.
We pay our equipment. All of the money we are fronting unless you have a sponsor.
Yeah.
So on the women's side, I've seen numbers like for the season, conservatively, probably 50,000 mm-hmm. thrown out.
Yeah, I would say for me personally, I mean, everyone's got their own budget. Everyone's got their own thing. Like, we have friends that have part-time jobs and play golf.
Oh, yeah. Most of professional golfers have another job, is at least in the off season.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not just golf. I know a lot of other women's sports, they also have another job. So a lot of women athletes in general, not just golf, but they'll have a part-time job and then they'll play whatever sport they play. So like, well, I mean, I personally have a part-time job. So my budget's a little different from other people's. So I drive everywhere. I drive 40,000 miles a year. So right. I don't budget flights.
Hannah does not fly. I have known Hannah for 4 years. I think I've seen her fly maybe twice.
It's because when I go to South Africa, they can't. I'm not a strong swimmer.
She would drive to South Africa if she could. I'm not even kidding.
But so like, I don't have the budget for rental cars and flights. So right. I drive everywhere. So like my budget is going to be cheaper than other people's.
Yeah, but you're paying higher in gas.
Yeah.
In certain years, that costs more.
Yeah, depending. Yeah, it's different year to year.
And then kind of how much do we make?
Yeah.
This to me, okay, we're not going to even go down a rabbit hole of people like to complain about things.
Yeah, I mean, this life we've chosen. We don't have a gun to our head. We've chosen this life.
With that said, I think people are not quite aware of how our money works. So as far as like what we make week to week, that's posted online. Like,
yeah, you can see.
You can see exactly how much money we make from on the golf course.
Yeah.
And this is tricky because I definitely don't want to be one of those people that like gripes, because that's not what it's about.
Yeah.
But it's hard to profit.
Yeah.
As a professional golfer.
Yeah.
So like, I know girls who are on the LPGA tour who have made on course $100,000 about.
Yeah.
But their expenses for the season were about equivalent, because they also have the added caddy that they have to pay week to week, plus they've got to pay their travel and everything too. Women's golf, though, has come a long way.
Oh, 100%. It's come so far.
It, like anything, like any woman's sport, it could continue to grow.
Yeah.
But I think as the game of golf grows, I think as an awareness of like how freaking good women's golfers are.
Yeah.
I think that'll come.
Yeah, it will.
But I think for now, we don't chase this dream because of the money.
No.
We chase it because it's something we've dreamed about for most their whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the time, effort, and energy that we put into it. It's the love for the game, the love for the process, the love for the journey.
Yeah.
And I think for most people, profiting financially would be just like a bonus.
Yeah. And I've seen this stat, and it's something on the lines of like it probably is the same with every sport for women. But I mean, most golfers on LPGA after their career, they go to something else and get another job elsewhere. It's very rare that you see a female golfer retire from LPGA and have enough earnings, winnings, whatever you want to call it, continue to live off the
right.
So I mean,
but it's also tough on the guy's side.
Oh, it's tough. Yeah,
like their expenses, travel and whatnot, is obviously the same because it's not anymore for them. But they're, like we've said, on the Korn Ferry, they're required to have a caddy versus on our equivalent tour of Epson, we don't have to. So like, they have more expenses in their own right. I would say maybe they have a bit more sponsorship help at the moment, just as a whole.
Yeah.
But I think it's growing on our side too. Like, I don't think that's a forever thing. And one thing that I think on the women's side that we take more advantage of than the men is host housing.
Oh, yes, yes.
So for those who aren't familiar, host housing is basically people. So we travel week to week to different spots, and people in the community will open up their home for us to stay in for the week. So that's a huge financial help for us to not pay for a hotel room.
Yeah.
Plus, a lot of times, the family's willing to host us. They typically might want to at least cook a dinner or something. So we save a little bit more in food as well. But I think it's just nice host housing because at the end of the day, you're not just going home to a hotel for most weeks out of the year.
Yeah.
But I think more women take advantage of that than men.
Yeah.
At least from the guys that I know.
It seems like that to me as well.
But people ask me, and I can't believe, honestly, my own answer for this. Because they're like, do you really just like go to strangers' houses every week? Like you don't even like look them up and stuff? And I'm like, no. Like,
catch me at their house.
Yeah. Like actually though, I mean, because most of the time, host housers, I don't know if I should call them host housers, but
hosts
are only signed up because they know people.
Yeah.
And they're like reputable people in the community or the members of the golf course. And like,
yeah, they're not ads on Craigslist. They're generally they're members of the course, like you said.
Now, we do know people who have had sketchy situations who have chosen to leave their host housing.
Yeah.
However, I have never had that. Most people are awesome.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to kind of like get to walk in other people's shoes for a week.
Yeah.
It's really neat.
They make you, most of them just make you a part of the family.
It's awesome.
Like, there's a few of our housing situations that we still keep in contact with them. I mean, a lot of times I'll send Christmas cards to some of the kids from the host family. They really make us a part of the family. So on the WAPT, it's like a big, it pretty much is a big family.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So to wrap this up, we did frequently ask questions. So now I'm going to hit you with a couple. Maybe we can take a, I would call them like rapid fire, but I kind of more so want to get like your initial reaction, like your first thought that comes to mind of a couple misconceptions that people have about professional golf.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Ready not?
Because some of these might rub you a little wrong. Just like prepare yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. All you do as a golfer is play golf. The only thing you do for your job is to play golf.
I would say that's false.
Okay.
I would definitely say, depending on the time of the year, you'll see me what job I'm at.
I think that's equivalent to saying that when it's not tax season, all accountants do is play with their calculator.
Yeah.
Like, no. When we're not at the golf course, we're doing a lot of other things.
Yeah.
We have to be, golf is very holistic. It's physical, it's mental, it's emotional. And for some of us, it is spiritual because we be praying the whole time. But there's nutrition, there's your fitness, there's travel, there's the administrative work of planning all of that.
Yeah.
Like, you don't just get to just show up and hit a golf ball around. Like, there's a lot that goes into it before, after, during, all your stats, all your coaches, like
everything. You have your whole team. You're like the CEO of, you're the CEO of Cecily.
Absolutely.
I'm the CEO of Hannah. So we put people around us to help us reach our goal, like reach our goals. But we also are in charge of that roadmap.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Misconception number two, professional golfers never hit bad shots.
Oof. That's definitely false. I've hit some of the worst shots in my life playing professional golf.
Only good thing is that we've all been there.
Yeah.
And so when those rare moments happen, you kind of can just look at each other and laugh.
Yeah.
And those bad rounds that happen, you just have to like try and say, you know what, it's an anomaly and you move on.
Yeah.
But yeah, we definitely miss putts. We definitely hit bad shots. Like,
yeah,
it's still golf.
Yeah.
And that game is undefeated.
I think I saw a stat. I can't even, maybe it was a meme. It was a better chance of getting a hole in one than hitting all 18 greens in regulation.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
So it's just, it brings you as if you're,
it's very humbling.
Yeah, it is. It's like hitting all 18 greens. I don't know if I've ever done that in my whole life. in a round of golf.
Mm, I don't think I have either.
I think if you add up 2 days, yep, eventually they get to 18.
Baby. Okay, so final. Ready?
Yeah.
Wow, Hannah. You just get to play golf every day? Like, that's all you do?
Yeah, that's all I do.
That's all I do.
That's all I do is play golf.
That kind of goes with the first one a little bit, but it's like, I think people really think that you just show up, hit the golf ball, travel around, live the glamorous private jet life.
Yeah, I think if I could go back in time in a time machine and say, you know, Hannah, little Hannah, I'd say, this is going to be your lifestyle for the next whatever, how long? Are you sure you want to do this? I would still say yes in a heartbeat.
Yeah. But it's great to be aware of that.
Yeah.
And I think the purpose of that misconception is just like, there's a lot of work that goes into it. And and we are athletes. I know in the past, golf maybe wasn't treated as like, golfers were not viewed as athletes. But if you look around now,
no,
they absolutely are.
Tiger Woods changed that game.
He definitely changed that.
We're all different. Like I said earlier, everyone's budget is different. Everyone's travel is different. But last year, after stage one, I had three afternoon tea times that week. My last day, which was Sunday, I teed off around noon. I finished at 5, hopped in my car, drove to Sacramento. So I'm all sweaty from the golf course, drove 8 hours to Sacramento, basically took a nap, and then hopped in my car and drove 19 hours to Idaho the next day over at Circling Raven. And I mean, don't get me wrong, like, I wouldn't have traded that for the world, because that's exactly where I wanted to be. But that's just a long travel day.
It's not glamorous.
It's not a glamorous travel day. I mean, not many people want to do that, and for good reasons, but just budget-wise, I didn't budget a flight.
Right. And how many Alani's did you probably drink in that?
I've gotten my caffeine intake to at least 2 servings a day.
I'd be crushing that then, too. okay, Hannah, I know we could talk for actual hours, And we have. But I want to ask you one final question. Right. And I personally think that the great Bobby Jones quote, that golf is the closest thing to this game we call life. Mm-hmm. And I think golf is like the best metaphor for life that I've ever experienced. And so for you, what is the biggest life lesson that the game of golf has taught you?
Golf, not only has it taught me so much, but it's also showed me probably the best and worst parts of myself.
Mm.
What I really enjoy about life, I can be seen through the lens of golf. Mm. And I've met some of the best people I know through golf. And so golf isn't a game. It's a tough game. But I almost enjoy the things that golf has brought me as much as golf.
Mm.
So like the relationships I've built with golf, the people I've met with golf, the sightseeing, the travel, the ups and downs, everything that is encompassing all of that experience, I have grown to appreciate.
Mm.
And so I just thank God every single day for the trials and tribulations that golf has given me.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to get like emo over here.
What about you, sis?
That was beautiful. Oh, gosh. I think the way you just answered that with like the best and worst versions of yourself, like that's huge. And like, that's the stuff that defines you too.
Yeah.
Like the game of golf can like have the highest highs and the lowest lows.
Yeah.
And especially when you make it your career.
Yeah.
And so what, like, that's so beautifully said.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Hannah, thank you so much for being my first ever guest. If y'all want to watch Hannah on her journey a little bit further, you have Instagram. I know you have Twitter.
Yeah.
But like, what is your, how can they follow you?
So Instagram would be HeyArnold789. And Instagram or Twitter is the same. And my social security. No, I'm just kidding.
And then definitely follow the @LoftyLifePodcast. And I'm @Cecily_Overby as well. If y'all would like to follow us on our journeys. Thank you again, Hannah. You are my favorite.
Oh, it's been fun. Thank you, sis.
Love you.
Bye.
Thank y'all so much for listening. This is only the beginning for the Lofty Life podcast, with so many more conversations to come. If you want to stay in the know, head on over to our website, loftylifepodcast.com, and subscribe to join the Lofty Life Loop. Loopers will be the first to hear about new episodes, special behind-the-scenes content,
and most importantly, subscriber-only giveaways. So don't miss out. Head on over to LoftyLifePodcast.com to just subscribe now.